All right, that's great. There is my copy. All right, what's number one? Yeah, go, Pepper.
What is meant by absolute in the language of absolute truth?
Yeah, what is meant by absolute in the language of absolute truth? How did you answer that question, Lucas?
Completely and universally true, no matter who you are, where you live, your religion, ethnicity, etc.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What do you got, Ola?
Undebatable, it's not changing.
Undebatable, it's not changing, good. Jack, what do you have for that?
Truth that is universally recognized as true.
Okay, what's the one word that is problematic in his definition?
Universally.
No. Does everyone recognize it?
Can you read it?
Yes.
A truth that is universally recognized is true.
Is it recognized?
Yeah, what? Does the fact that you recognize it make it true? What makes it true? Yeah. Yeah, really, that sounds ridiculous, but 2 + 2 = 2, regardless of whether you recognize it as true or not, it is true. Your recognition of the reality that north is up or towards the North Pole or like traveling towards Maine on I-95, well, I don't want to call this north, well, you don't get to decide that. It's been decided. North is north. It's not south. It's not west. It's not east. It is
north.
Right, that's the general idea. All right, what's next? Bethany, what do you got?
Gender dysphoria is a scientific word for blank.
Yeah. What word did you put in there?
Confusion.
What'd you put?
Blank.
Confusion, good. Confusion. What'd you put, Pepper? Confusion? Good. All right, Jack, next.
Why does the biblical worldview insist on only two genders?
Yeah, why does the biblical worldview insist on only two genders? Landon, what'd you put down?
I put because God made it two genders.
Yeah. Yeah, we insist that there's only two genders because God ordained that there only be two genders. Is gender fluid?
No.
No, it's not fluid. Right. All right, Evie, what you got? What's next?
So God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created them.
Male and female? Yep. Mr. Barry, what's next?
What do puberty blocking drugs do? Do your answer block puberty? They block the development of biological characteristics.
Yes, but what particular ones? What biological...
Cool. Reproductive discipline.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, so what characteristics in particular do puberty-blocking drugs, which ones?
I put they slow down the time when puberty is considered.
Yeah, so you use the word puberty in the definition. I'm trying to get to see if y'all can figure out what that puberty is. What's
reproductive organs?
Yeah, the masculine or the feminine features that clearly define you as a... Yeah, as a male or female, the developmental process of transitioning from girl to woman. Yeah, and you said boy? Yeah. Yeah, and boy to man. All right, what's next? Preston, what's next?
Give 3 examples for objective truth.
Yeah, give 3 examples. So, Landon, what's your first example?
1 + 1 = 2.
1 + 1 =...
2.
2. Excellent. That's beautiful. Pepper, what's your example?
Up is not down.
Up is not down. Very true. Addison, what do you got?
I screwed up. I forgot the meaning of objective.
Okay, Lucas, what do you got?
The earth is round.
The earth is round. Very good. Regardless of whether you're a flat earther or not, right?
Right.
Okay, anybody else got something different and better?
I thought you are male or you are female.
Okay, but again, this is... Sure, I'll go with that, Preston. Jack, what do you got?
1 foot is 12 inches?
Yeah, 1 foot is 12 inches.
I created the world.
Yes, from a biblical worldview, that is correct. From a biblical worldview, that is correct. Yeah.
Girls are not boys and boys are not girls.
Yeah, girls are not boys and boys are not girls. All right, Lucas, what's next?
What should a Christian parent do with a child suffering from the elements of gender discontentment?
Yeah, what should a Christian parent do with the child who's suffering with this? Pepper, what do you got?
They should patiently remind them
that God gave them a boy or girl, and this is from professor
school,
stop seeing
doctors suggest
hormone
therapy, etc.
Wow. Great answer. Addison, do you have good answers, Peppers?
No, that feels like she copied it directly from the book.
Is that what you did? Yeah, but that wasn't the objective. The objective
I just remembered it from the book. I didn't copy it, but...
Okay, I want you putting stuff in your what?
On words.
Yes, why?
Because...
To show your understanding.
Yes, exactly. A monkey can do what?
Copy a banana.
Yeah. Yes, Preston, a monkey can eat a banana. That was very helpful. A monkey can, we can train a monkey to do just about anything you want done.
He's still a child.
There's no better way of demonstrating that you learn something than you do what?
You're doing it.
You communicate it in your own what?
Words.
Yeah, your own words. Right, exactly.
I thought they should graciously and patiently teach them the right thing.
Yeah, graciously and patiently teach them the right thing. Reinforce what?
What the Bible says is strong.
Yeah, reinforce their own gender. Just start with reinforcing their own gender. What if they have a propensity to play with girls' toys or boys' toys or whatever? Are you just going to rip them out of their hands? What are you going to do with that? Okay, how much? Okay, so your little boy wants to dress up every day as a girl. Okay. So occasionally he puts a dress on and it's funny.
No.
Are we stomping that? What are we doing with that? This is not a black and white idea. This is not like prescribed. Does the Bible tell us what to do in these situations? No. Does the Bible have a chapter that you turn to and it says, do this if your child is struggling with gender dysphoria?
No.
Okay, does the Bible even address gender dysphoria? Does it have a chapter on gender dysphoria?
No.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Why doesn't it?
Because that really wasn't really a thing back then.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You remember, we've talked about this last week. The major change from yesterday, and by yesterday I don't mean yesterday, I mean days gone by, and now... is that if I told you I was a girl trapped in a man's body, you would deal with my what? My brain. My thinking. And you'd make every effort to try to do what? Yes, get me to realize, no, actually you're not a girl trapped in a boy's body. You are a what?
Male.
That's yesterday. What's today? Exactly. And that's where this really becomes insanely problematic. We start making reconstruction. Oh, wow, you're a girl trapped in a boy's body. You know what you need? Breasts. You know what we can do? We can give you what? Implants. Oh. You're a girl trapped in a boy's body? We can give you hormone therapy. We'll help fix this. In the past, yesterday, I don't mean yesterday, what would we do? We'd help you try to figure out. No, you cognitively there's something wrong with you. All right? Flat earther has a complete disconnect with what?
Reality.
Exactly. Reality. All right, where are we at, Jack? What number?
11.
All right, what is it?
ultimately insisting that a person is one gender, trapped in the body of the opposite gender is blank to God and his sovereign decision.
Okay, what word did you put in the blank?
Rebellion.
Yeah, rebellion is a great word choice. Anyone have an alternative?
I put disrespectful.
All right, disrespectful, sure. What else?
I put insulting.
Insulting, yep. Anybody else?
Opposite.
Opposite, okay. All right, what do we got, Jade?
How is the person in question 11 like a flat earther?
Yeah, how is the person in question 11 like a flat earther? How'd you answer that, Jack?
They both refuse to acknowledge the objective reality that they are a male or female, or that the earth is round.
Yeah, good answer. Caden, yours is good?
They both are felt like they're disconnected from reality and opposing absolute truth.
Yeah, good. Addison, do you have a good answer on this one?
They both don't believe in something that's obviously true.
They both don't believe in something that's obviously true, yeah. Bethany, how about your answer?
I said they don't believe in what is an obvious fact.
Okay, an obvious fact. Good. Landon?
I thought they believe this one thing, and I think that they are disconnected from reality.
Okay, good. All right, we have a bonus left?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the bonus, Evie?
Gender is like blank. It is chosen by God and cannot be authentically changed.
Okay, and what did you put down?
Race.
Race, sure. Ethnicity.
Skin.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's go score them. There are 12 questions. That means there's how many points each?
Eight.
That's correct. And let's make the bonus worth 5 points. Score your papers, please.
Pastor Sean?
Yep.
If I put the Bible for my bonus, would that be correct, or did I need to put race or ethnicity?
The Bible's out of context. We're dealing with humans, right?
Okay.
Right. You can put square down there, too, and you can say it's like a square. It has to be something dealing with a human.
I put absolute truth. Would that be wrong, then?
Yes, that would be wrong. I was trying to get you to establish a what? Parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I told you I was a black man trapped in a white body, would they make every effort to begin giving me chemicals so that my skin could start darkening? Right. That's the idea. All right, let's get our notes out. Let's get into chapter number 1. We're going to finish up chapter 2 and transition to chapter number 3. I mean 2. Okay? Okay, give me a truth that comes out of chapter 1. Let's go around the room. Give me a truth that comes out of chapter 1. Landon.
In the beginning, God created me.
Right, in the beginning, God is the creator. Good. Another truth. Preston.
He made the world.
What?
He separated the light from the darkness.
Yeah, God is the responsible agent for separating light from darkness. Look at
God created everything by speaking out of nothing.
Yes, God creates by speaking. Ex nihilo. Ex nihilo. That's a Latin expression that means what?
Out of nothing.
Good. All right. Next, Janet, Jason.
God created man in his own image.
Yep. Human beings are made in God's image. Next. Addison.
God only created 2 genders.
There are only 2 genders created by God. Next. Jack.
God created everything in 6 days.
Yeah, 6 days is the length of time that God used to create everything. Next. Yes, God rested on the seventh. What was that resting on the seventh day? What was the purpose? God was exhausted after 6 long days. Lucas, what was God doing?
He was giving us an example of what to do.
Yeah, establishing a pattern, right? Good. Any other truths coming out of there? Any other truths? At the verse 31, what's the significance of verse 31? Pepper.
Everything is very good.
Yeah, so what's the significance of that?
There's no sin.
Yeah, there's no sin, there's no what? No evil, no bad. God is not the culpable agent for creating any of that stuff. Okay? What are we eating? What are we eating at this point? What does our diet consist of at this point? Pepper? Is it meat? Are we killing things at this point?
Yeah.
Right, every green thing, right. Are we killing things at this point?
No.
You keep on saying yes. You think I'm asking the question to reinforce what you're saying? No. Are we killing things at this point?
No.
Why are we not killing things at this point? Why are we not killing things at this point? Has death entered the world yet?
No.
No. No, we're talking about Genesis chapter what?
One.
Yes, Genesis 1. So we're not killing things. And the reason we're not killing things is because
death isn't in the world.
Right, because death is not in the world. Death is a result of what?
The fall.
Sin, right. Right, death is a result of sin. Okay, so are we going to be killing things in the new heaven and new earth?
No.
No, we're not. We're going to have a diet in which things don't
die.
That's right. Not going to be giant chicken factories in the new heaven and new earth in which butchering thousands of chickens. It's just the reality. Okay? Death is not a pleasant thing. It is a necessary, but you can even argue it's a necessary what? Evil. Okay? Necessary evil. Alright, so let's get into chapter 2. Okay, start reading chapter 2, please.
But the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
Okay, have we talked about this word? Toledah. Have we talked about this word Toledah?
Yes.
Everyone's familiar with the word Toledah. How many times does it appear? How many times does it appear?
Yeah.
In the book of Genesis, how many times does it appear? How many? Alright, look it up right now in your article. Find the article on Toledah.
Ten times.
10 times, that's correct. There are 10 toledahs. Okay? So, again, here's our word toledah. Translated how?
Generations.
Some translations translate it family records. What is unique about this toledah compared to all the others? There are 10 total. What is unique about this one in verse number 4 that's different from all the others?
This one's not about families.
Yes, this one's not about families. Excellent. This is the toledah between what and what? Yes, heavens and the earth. Okay? What does heaven represent? The abode of whose?
God.
Right. So this is the abode of God, and what's earth represent? Tyron, what's earth represent?
The world and everything under heaven.
Yeah, this is where man exists, right? So what is the toledah of God and man? What is the toledah of God and man? It's the union of the two. It's the union of heaven and earth. All right, let's see if we can see that in the narrative. With that understanding, let's see that in the narrative. Someone read verse 5. Jack, read verse 5. Nice and loud.
When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground.
Keep reading.
And a mist was going up from the land, and was watering the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature.
Okay, stop. Who can see the toledah? Who can see the toledah in the language now? All right, you can see it, Jaden. Who else can see the toledah in the language? Okay, we've got two things that Jack read. What are the two things? The Lord God, what did he do?
He
He formed man from where? The dust of the ground. So what's that represent? Earth. Right, that's earth. That's clearly earth. And then what's next? And?
Breathing into his nostrils the breath of life.
Right, who is breathing into his nostrils the breath of life?
God
is. And this is an anthropomorphism. Big word. Anthropology is the study of humans. Anthropomorphism is doing what?
Using human characteristics to describe non-human things.
Yes, exactly. Good job. It's when I ascribe to God things that he doesn't actually have. The hand of the Lord was with them. God has a hand?
Yeah.
No. So what does that mean when the hand of the Lord is with someone?
He's on their side helping
them. Sure. If I say I'm going to give you a hand, and then I watch you wash the dishes, have I given you a hand?
Mm-hmm.
What is your expectation if I say I'm going to give you a hand setting the table?
Yeah.
Right. So you put all the forks, you put all the knives, you set the entire table, and I say give you a hand. And what do you think with me?
Liar,
okay? You don't really understand what it means to give someone
a hand.
Right. So anthropomorphism is assigning God characteristics that he actually doesn't have. Why do we do this?
To help us better understand it.
Yes, to help us better understand it. So what characteristics are we giving God here?
Breathe.
Yeah, so what do you have to have in order to breathe?
Mm-hmm.
Lungs, mouth, and all that. Does he have that? No. All right. So, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. So, breathed into him the breath of life is what? Where's that coming from? Heaven. Life is coming from the giver of life. Who's the giver of life?
God.
So, the first human being is the union of not man and woman. Every other human being after that will be the union of man and woman. Do we all understand that?
Mm-hmm.
After Adam and Eve, every other human being will be the union from a man and a woman. But the first man is the union between what?
Heaven and earth.
Between heaven and earth. Exactly. This is incredibly poetic. This is remarkably poetic. In other words, the first toledoth in the book of Generation starts with who? God, not
Adam.
Not man. Right. Not Adam. Now the first one after this, being the second, will start with Adam. And man becomes what kind of a creature?
A living
creature. Man becomes a living creature. Now it's very important for you to recognize that chapter 2 is an outcropping of what day?
Day
6. Good job. Day 6. So you can think of it like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then 6 expands out like this. And what would we put in this right here?
I'll read it up in chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Exactly. Yes, Temple.
I just wanted to point something out. In Matthew 1, it has the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, and at the end of it, it says the Son of Adam, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, day 7 takes me into chapter number what? 2. What's day 7? What are the verses for day 7? Karen, what are the verses for day 7? 2:1 through what? The end of chapter 1, it says everything that God made was what?
Very good.
Very good. So that's the end of day 6. Is everyone tracking with that?
Mm-hmm.
We're done creating. Chapter 2 starts with what? What's the language of chapter 2? Kyron, read it.
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made.
And what verse number is that you're ending with?
3.
So 1 through 3, in my opinion, should be where?
In chapter 1.
Exactly. I think whoever made the chapter breaks made a blunder. A blunder. Okay? I'll show you another one. Turn to Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. The Bible ends. Turn to Genesis chapter number 11, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27. What's it say?
This is the account of Terah's family line.
All right, see that word account in your translation? What word do you think that is?
Toledot.
Yeah, that's our Toledot. And so that should be the starting point of chapter number
12.
Exactly. Because the story of who begins?
Abraham.
Right. Terah is mentioned only for what reason?
He's
Abraham's father. He's going to give us the connection back to Shem. Shem's going to give us the connection back to Noah. Noah's going to give us the connection back to Seth. Seth's going to give us the connection back to Adam. That's right. Are there a lot of names in between there that I didn't say?
Yes,
there are. But those are the main names. Those are the important names that you're connecting. Let's make sure that we understand what we just did one more time. Okay. We went to Adam to Seth. Why did we go to Seth?
Seth's Adam's son.
Yes, because Seth is Adam's son. Why didn't we go to Abel, Jaden? Because he's dead. Lucas, why didn't we go to Cain?
Because he was exiled.
Right, because he's exiled. Exactly. So the Savior is not going to come from a murderer in the sense of the one that's exiled, so we need a new son, and that son becomes
Seth.
Seth, right. And then we have all kinds of people until we get to who?
Jesus.
Not to Jesus, for that's way too late to go all the way to Jesus. Who's our next major character?
Noah,
exactly. Because Noah becomes the righteous man that builds the ark to the saving of the world. Noah has how many sons?
Three.
Do you know the name of them?
Shem, Ham, and
Japheth. Yes, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. Jesus has got to be from one of them. It can only be one of them, and it can't be from more than one. So it's going to be who?
Shem.
This is going to be Shem. That is correct. Shem goes all the way to who that we're concerned about? Terah. We're not getting into the New Testament or the middle of the Old Testament yet. To Terah. Why do we care about Terah?
Because he's Abraham's father.
Because he's Abraham's father. Exactly. Abraham to who, Jaden? Starts with the letter I.
Isaac.
Isaac to who?
Jacob.
To Jacob. That's correct. Jacob to how many sons?
12.
12. What's the son we're most concerned with?
Judah.
No.
Judah.
No.
Judah.
No.
Judah.
Judah. Why Judah? Why Judah?
Jesus is from the tribe of Judah.
Yes, because Jesus is the tribe of Judah. That's correct. Because Jesus is the tribe of Judah. Okay? You have to learn that. You have to memorize that. That is absolutely essential. That is a side note. So chapter 12 should start right here. That's where chapter 12 should start, with the Toledot of Terah, which will be the story of Abraham. Okay? The story of Abraham. So, chapter number 2, beginning here with verse number 4, is a giant outcropping of day number 6. So we're now getting the details of day number 6. This is kind of like if you've ever seen a schematic and they take the schematic like this and then they move it over here and they blow it up. Has anyone ever seen something like that on a diagram? So they show you where it is and in relation to where it's at, and then they want to give you the details that you need, so they move a larger picture, and this has all the details. So this is like the very macro information. This is where the part is, and then this becomes the micro details of it.
So on day six, the Lord God sees that he has a garden. He's made this beautiful garden. He's filled it with all there. Only one thing is missing. And what is that thing that's missing?
Man.
There's no man to do what?
To work it.
To work it. There's no man to work it. So God has a solution for the absence of man. When the bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant in the field had grown, the Lord God had not caused the rain to blow. And underline in your Bible, no man to work the ground. No man to work the ground. So there's a complete absence of a man. And let me remind you, in the Hebrew, that word is Adam. So there's no Adam to work the ground, because the name Adam, the proper name Adam, comes from the generic name. The proper name Adam comes from the generic name man. Okay? Same Hebrew word. So the toledot of the heavens and the earth is when God makes man a living creature. Okay, what is this word, Addison, right here, Lord? What is this word, Lord, right here?
Elohim?
Nope.
Sorry, Yahweh.
It's Yahweh. That's correct. Good job. The word Elohim is which one? God, right behind it. So the text would read, Yahweh Elohim. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden in the Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made a spring of every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life was in the midst, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so now we have two particular trees identified. A river flowed out of Eden in verse number 10, read it with me in your Bible, to water, and it divides into four rivers. Then we get the details of that, the third river. Look at verse 15 now. And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. To work it and keep it. What other translations do you have in verse 15? Addison, what do you have?
To work it and take care of it.
To work it and take care of it. Bethany, what do you have? Verse 15.
I have to work it and keep it.
Work it to keep it. Anybody have something different than that?
Tend it.
What do you have, Anna?
Take care of it and maintain it.
Maintain it. Good. What do you have, Preston?
10.
Good. Yep. And Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge you shall not eat. In that day you shall surely what?
Die.
All right. Putting the trees in the garden with the first prohibition. So previously we've had mandates. What mandates have we had? That's one mandate. What's another one? Yep, the culture mandate. Subdue it and have dominion. Those are mandates. Now we're getting our first prohibition. What is a prohibition? If you're prohibited from doing something, what does that mean?
Something you cannot do.
Yes, so this is the first time he's being told something that he cannot do. And what is it that he cannot do, Jack?
He cannot eat of either trees.
No, it's not either. It doesn't say either, does it?
Mm-hmm.
What tree?
The tree of knowledge of good
and evil. That's right. He can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree. This creates for man a moral choice. Please write that down in your notes. The tree, the presence of the tree of knowledge of good and evil with a prohibition creates for man a choice, a moral choice. Yes, Pepper?
Is everything created? Since the way God has said that he did that, he
would have a choice? Well, I don't think everything's predestined. I don't think Scripture teaches that everything is predestined. In other words, did God predestine that sweatshirt that you're going to wear right now? Did God predestine that Jamie would wear his VBS shirt again for the 10th time in a row?
On,
you're also wearing it. Thank
I'm
you for showing me. And Lucas as well. Or do we as human beings have, and you're also wearing it, and you're also wearing it. Right.
I'm proud of not wearing it.
You're wearing the men's retreat shirt. That's a good looking shirt, I think. Mr. Barry, what are you wearing?
It says, Are We There Yet? It has a picture of an RV on it.
Nice. Are We There Yet? RV.
He tried to do the shirt with Mr. Lynn.
I tried to do something that resembled the BBS shirt.
He doesn't have it.
I have no idea how RV represents. Let's focus on Pepper's question. Isn't everything predestined? Can God predestine some things without predestining everything? Let's answer that question. God, in his sovereignty, can he predestine some things without predestining everything? You think it through it, Madison. Think through it for a moment.
Madison?
I'm sorry, Addison. Thank you. I got the sun part right. I'm looking right at it. I should be able to say it. Yeah. Jack, what say you? Because you predestined some things, does that obligate you to predestine everything? Can I tell you that you're going to eat lunch with me at 12 and then give you choice of what you eat?
Mm-hmm.
So did I predetermine that you're going to eat lunch with me?
Yes.
Do you have choice within that?
Yes.
If I say to you, you're eating lunch with me at Mod Pizza at 12, no questions about it, you'll be there, end of story. Okay, so I'm exercising my sovereignty.
What's something? Mod Pizza's delicious.
And then we walk into the restaurant and I say, order what you want. I have predestined some, but within that, what have I given you?
Choice.
Okay. So I don't think that we can argue from Scripture that God has predestined everything. Clearly, God is predestined. That's ridiculous to suggest that he hasn't. He predestined that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Jesus. He predestined that Abraham would be the man that he would choose to start a nation called Israel. There's all kinds of evidences of predestination. You can argue that he predestined David would be the son that would take over the kingdom after Saul failed miserably. There's lots of evidence of predestination. But if you subscribe to totalitarian predestination, then you're eliminating what?
The choice.
Yeah, you're eliminating moral choices. And if you eliminate moral choices, what must you inevitably make God?
A controller.
More than a controller.
A puppet master?
Not bad. Not bad at all, Lucas. It's even more significant than that.
A dictator?
More than that. God becomes the culpable agent for all sin. Are y'all familiar with the word culpable? Okay, let's look it up. Don't be embarrassed to say you don't know the word. We're going to learn them. C-U-L, culpable. Okay, Jack, pick it up with the word meriting.
Meriting, combination.
Condemnation.
Condemnation or blame, especially as wrong or harmful.
Okay, so they give us a couple archaic words, guilty, and then they give us an example. What's the example?
Criminal.
Yeah, here's the defendant is?
Culpable.
For her?
Actions.
So if there's an accident between two cars, the police officer is going to attempt to find what?
Who's culpable.
Who's culpable. Exactly. I was speeding drunk and crossed the lane and hit you head on, Anna. You were sober. You were on the right side of the road. You were traveling under the speed limit. I crossed the lane, struck your car. I'm the culpable agent. I'm the one responsible for the
accident.
Right. If we make God having predestined the choice, then what happens invariably?
He
Yeah. So do you want God culpable for every rape?
No.
How would you serve him as a righteous God if he was culpable for every... that he predestined every single time a person would be raped? I'm asking you guys to think at the highest level of thinking right now. This is as philosophical as it gets.
Can you say it one more time?
Sure. If you subscribe to the idea that God has predestined all things, not some things, all things. There's a remarkable difference here between the two. Am I denying that God predetermines things? No. God predestined that his son would die on a cross. God determined before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would die on a cross. Okay? No question about that. But if you subscribe to the idea that God has predestined even the very socks that you chose this morning to wear, and every other decision that you've ever made has been predetermined, then are you actually a individual with moral choice? Okay. And if you don't have moral choice, then can you truly be culpable?
Yeah.
No. You can't. Exactly. And that's the point. That is the point. So, placing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden created what kind of a choice, Jack?
Moral choice.
A moral choice. All right. What does it mean, a moral choice? How are we using that word, a moral choice? So let's look up the word moral. Okay. Read the first definition there, Jaden.
Of or relating to principles of right and wrong in behavior.
Yeah. So what words do we have with regard to the tree with right and wrong?
Good and evil.
Good and evil. Exactly. Good is what?
Right.
Right. And evil is?
Wrong.
Wrong. So thus we're saying that the insertion of a tree that is specifically described as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the tree that creates what kind of a choice, Landon? A moral choice. And what is the choice? Ultimately, what is the choice? Don't tell me about eat or not to eat. Ultimately, what is the choice?
Good or
evil. Yeah, obey or?
Disobey.
Right. Obey or disobey. Okay? So the insertion, this is going to be on your quiz, so don't get frustrated when you don't know it. The insertion of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with the prohibition creates for Adam and Eve a moral choice. And ultimately that choice is trust God or not. Because in the day that you eat from the tree, you shall surely
die.
The serpent's going to say, what's the serpent going to say to Eve? You're not going to die. So now in this ear, she has, if you eat, you're going to die. And in this ear, she has, you're not going to die. And she now has to make a moral choice between two truths. The truth from God and the truth from a talking serpent. And what truth does she choose? Over God. Ultimately, all choices between God and something else. All choice. Ultimately. No. Because God has given you the freedom, in my view, to choose that.
So okay? Could you say ultimately all moral choice is between God and us?
Yeah, that's a much better way of putting an adjective there. Again, remind ourselves that moral means
good or bad, good or evil, right or wrong. Okay. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Underline this in your Bible. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. I will make him a helper fit for him. Okay? The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. All right, find your article on helper, please. Find your article on helper. So the question on the test is, why did God make Eve? And you answer it, Eve. Evie.
To be the helper.
What?
To be the helper.
Yeah, why did God make Eve, Jack?
To help Adam.
Because it was not good that man should be alone. Right? This means that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of you men in this room, at the age in which you achieve adult maturation, pick whatever age you want that to be, 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there. You should be pursuing what, Lucas?
Marriage.
Yes. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to pursue it at 18. I'm not telling you that there's a particular age. I'm not saying that. But if you're 45 and you're still not interested in marriage, there's a problem. Because you're ignoring what?
The fact that you need a helper?
Yes, exactly. If the Lord God says, Sean Harris, it is not good that you should be alone, and I say, you don't know what you're talking about, and choose to be alone, then what am I doing?
Rebellion.
Yes, I'm rebelling to God's authority in my life. Now here's what's amazing, men, future men, what are our ages? 13. Yep. So we're 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there, years away from full and complete maturation. And we should be making incremental steps to demonstrate our maturation along the way. Like a really big step is getting a
job.
What?
Job.
What else? DL.
Driver's license?
Yes, a driver's license. Why is that a big deal?
So you can drive around?
Yes, so that you can drive around. No.
So you're not relying on anybody to get you places?
Exactly. Oh. It is a step of maturation. Because with that driver's license, you're supposed to drive yourself to a J-O...
Job.
To a B. J-O-B. Why is it important for you to have a DL to get to the J-O-B?
So you can have a car seat.
Yeah, so that you can earn a living. Why do you need to earn a living?
So you can get an H-O-U-S-E.
Yeah, so you can get an H-O-U-S-E. Because to get an H-O-U-S-E, you're getting that so that you can have a W-I-F-E.
And an F-A-M-I-L-I.
Yes, and an F-A-M-I-L-E. Why? Right. Exactly. Right. There are natural maturation steps. At 18, we give you lots of privileges. What are they?
The right to vote.
The right to vote. And you can also serve your nation. We've decided that 18-year-olds aren't responsible enough to drink, so we give you another mark of maturation, which is
21.
So we've got these incremental societal timelines or milestones. 16, 18, 21, and the expectation is that you're hitting these milestones and becoming more and more mature. Exactly. And part of that maturation, men, is for you to be actively thinking about preparing yourself for marriage. So girls in the room, how many of you guys, how many of you girls want to marry a deadbeat? I'm looking for a loser. I'd like to marry a loser. Right, Pepper has her hand up. Anna, would you like to marry a loser? No. Why not? Right, you'd be taking care of him. Exactly, you'd have a child. And you'll even hear wives say, I have three kids. One of them being her husband. That is incredibly insulting. That is remarkably insulting. Do you not understand how that would be insulting? You don't want, Lucas, your wife to think of you as her oldest kid. We laugh about it, we joke about it, but many times humor is a way of communicating our frustration with the reality of truth. Give me one quality you're looking for in a man, all the way in the back. A single quality.
Strength.
Strength, good. That's fine. Anybody else?
Respectfulness.
Respectfulness, an appropriate level of communication.
Honesty.
Honesty.
Responsibility.
Did he take that from you? Bethany, you got anything for us?
Not being a loser.
What?
Not being a loser.
Not being a loser. Good. Right. Exactly. So part of your development and process, part of your maturation process, Jane, is to make yourself into a man that a woman would want to what? Marry. If I have a quality that I know would be despised by women, what should I do with that quality?
Throw it away.
Yeah, get rid of it. Fix it. I don't like to go to work. I don't like to get out of bed. I don't like to clean up for myself. I don't like to... That's very problematic. You ought not see that. All right.
Okay.
So let's look at our article. In Genesis chapter number 2, God states it is not good that man should be alone. And God made Ezer, see, this should be working, for Adam. The Hebrew word Ezer is translated, and it might be Ezer there because there's a long character over the E. It's translated helper in the ESV, or helpmate in King James. What are the translations that we have here? Go ahead and look at Genesis 2:18 in your Bible. Genesis 2:18. Anybody have something different between helper and helpmate? What do you got, Anna?
Companion corresponds.
Companion. Good. Yeah. Companion has a limitation to it. What is the limitation to the word companion as opposed to helper? Addison, think with me. What's the difference between the word companion and helper?
A helper is someone who helps you, and a companion is just your friend.
Right. So the expectation with companion is to use the same word companionship, friendship. I'm not lonely because you're with me. You're my companion.
Mm-hmm.
Helper has a much, the Hebrew word there is much stronger. This is a person who's going to make you more complete. This is a person who's going to make you a better person. And here's what's interesting about this, Jaden and Jack and Kyron, Lucas, Landon. Every measurable metric, all right, metric, way of assessing things, education, income, health, suicide, mental stability, every measurable metric that we can assign to men, married men do better. Married men do better. Not true with ladies. Not true with ladies. Not true. Single women do just the same as married women or better on education and all other kind of metrics. Not with men. So in other words, if we take you and you and you, there's three, and there's three more, and there's seven of you,
We split it up and we say, four of you are going to be married and three of you are going to remain single over the next 10 years. We're going to track you. We're going to do an annual survey. We're going to reach back and see where you're at. We're going to ask you questions like, how much education did you get in the last 12 months? I don't mean in high school. I'm talking about when you graduated and you're now an adult. We're going to ask you how much money you made. We're going to ask you to measure your happiness. We're going to ask you to measure your contentment. We're going to ask you how many visits you made to a doctor. We're going to see if you're seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist or that. We're going to ask you how many suicide attempts you made. We're going to ask you this anonymously so that you can provide us honest and objective feedback. All right? We're going to track you seven guys for the next 10 years. Here's what we can say to you. If you're married, you will do better in all categories. Any thoughts on that? Married men get a college degree more than those that aren't. Just the truth.
Also, it's sometimes saying that it's going to be a gift from the Lord.
True. Yeah. Sure. There are exceptions, Beth. There are exceptions. But if everyone chooses to be single, then the mandate to be fruitful and multiply will utterly and completely fail. Tracking? And you wouldn't be here. So what do we make of this fact that married men do better? What do we make of this? What do we make of this? Thoughts?
Women complete them?
Yes. Bethany?
That God was right in saying that man should not be alone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If I don't have anyone to live for, if I don't have any responsibilities, if I'm not planning on starting a family, the very reason I would get married and many times would be to start a family. Where's my necessities? Where are my thoughts towards future? Why not just eat, drink, and be merry every day? I have no responsibilities. I earn enough money to take care of myself and I can fish the rest of the time. Nothing wrong with fishing. We're not saying that you shouldn't enjoy recreation. Sure. But fishing every day to the detriment of everything else is not God what?
Yeah.
It's not God glorifying. So why do you think it is, Kyron, that married men do better?
Because they have something to do with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm now responsible for somebody more than my self. No, exactly. And you bring to me, you bring to my life something that completes me. Again, look at the language of the text. At the very top of your page, read the verse one more time. Jack, read it at the very top, the verse.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him.
Okay, a helper fit for him. Helper fit for him. A completer. Someone who brings aspects that he doesn't have to you. You think about children that grow up in single homes. Why is that so problematic? Why is it problematic for a child to grow up in a single home?
They don't have a father figure. They don't know how to be a father.
Good. What else? Is there a difference between your relationship with your mom and your relationship with your dad?
Yes.
Describe one difference.
With my dad, I can be a bit more rough, but my mom requires me to be a bit more gentle around her, so I can't throw a temper tantrum or something.
Okay. That's it. That's the only difference we have. We can only articulate one difference.
It's easier to talk about certain things with one parent than it is the other.
Because they're the same, right? They're identical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are identical, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Does your dad treat you differently than your mom treats you?
Yeah, some words.
Okay. Right. Is that good for you?
Because now I know who to ask when I
left. Ah, so you're manipulating them.
Yeah. It works.
Both your parents say no.
Oh, I believe that.
To say no.
To say no?
I know they have to say no. So oh. They can. Right. I can just go ask
my dad. Hey,
can I have this?
And
they're
like, fine. What?
How many siblings do you have?
Two. Well, that explains how it works.
Five.
It's too late
now. Alright, we're done. We're going to pick up next week, right where we left off. Let's get your homework. You have something to turn in, right?